Hi everyone, I'm Mark Esper. Welcome to another instant no-spoiler reaction. Quite often we get to see films before they hit the cinemas. Sometimes it can be a few months, sometimes it might only be a day beforehand. Either way, we're now recording our instant reactions, and together with a monthly roundup podcast to see if we still feel the same way weeks later. Because sometimes there are movies that can change your mind. Have a listen now to our latest instant reaction.
Right, so...
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Bright and early, 10 a.m. screen.
Oh, my words. Thor, Love, and Thunder. Were you thundered? Did you feel loved?
No, it was Thor, Love, and Sleep.
I think it was a story about how a man can only love, or can't love, two hammers.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good way to put it. And not even a metaphor. Although it sounds like it.
So, how would you set up the movie? How would you sell it?
Well, it sells itself. It's the third Thor movie in the Marvel thing. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff in the Marvel thing now, in the Marvel MCU universe now, where it's just like, oh, the Guardians are just there for the first act. And it's like, it's not their movie, but they have to continue where it last left off with Thor, which is with the Guardians.
Sure.
And then everything else is also... where it last left off, and where do we continue with Thor? And this is what I love about Ragnarok, is that Taika Waititi, directing and co-writing and starring again in this, takes the Thor concept and says, well, and I agree with this, which is, again, why I like Ragnarok. Well, Thor as a God of Thunder is kind of, like, boring once you've seen him in one movie and then all the other Avengers movies. What the heck do you do with a, in theory, immortal god who can't be killed, has ultimate power, can do anything, can fly anywhere, go anywhere, has no worries, has lived for millions, thousands of whatever years. And Ragnarok does that well, and then he kind of tries to do that again in this one, but in a more specific, literal, he's tired of being a superhero way. What does Thor mean? And I think I enjoyed a lot of it, but my biggest disappointment is that the answer to that question, this isn't even a spoiler because it's obvious, it's just that, like, oh, you're gonna go be a hero again because that's the only thing you can do. Which I was like, oh, okay, not at all an interesting twist.
I think this film was a film about the sub-characters. I found the sub-characters more interesting than the main narrative and the main character arc.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a really risky and dangerous venture putting Christian Bale in a co-starring role in a movie, because, as Mark Wahlberg will testify, when you share the screen with this guy, you are going to get smoked, and there is a lot of smoke and shadows happening. And
with Bale specifically?
Yeah,
as good a god butcher.
I kind of found myself rooting for him.
Well, he's also the prototypical, like, Marvel villain in that he's not necessarily a bad guy. He's just been wronged and is suffering and therefore wants some sort of vengeance, so therefore he turns bad. And his vengeance just happens to be he gets the sword which kills all gods, and that's his plan.
So that's the basic setup of the movie.
So this is what you're rooting for? All for him to kill all the gods?
No, I just really found his performance, and you're like, he wasn't kind of dialing it in. He was like, I'm in this, and I'm in with both feet, and he really went for it.
And you know, he's full makeup.
When he was kind of like being bad or tortured, you got the full bad and tortured repertoire of what Christian Bale can bring. I mean, just the basic setup for anybody who's not familiar is Christian Bale's character is disappointed by the gods, by their general vanity and lack of caring to the people that they're meant to be looking after, and so he takes it upon himself to start killing gods in an act of vengeance. And Thor, being a god, is kind of on the hit list.
And then what?
I think he was saving
the world. The world is right then, or something?
No,
I don't know. I don't know what his ultimate goal was.
I think he was saving humanity from the delusion of worshipping gods, and somehow wasting your life on trying to sort of get the approval of the gods is a futile gesture.
Yeah. I see your point. This makes me want to comment. One of the most creative things in this film to me was the way that they play around with gods. Like, there's a lot of... they go to this court of the gods or whatever it was called.
Russell Crowe in full kebab,
Zeus,
kebab
yeah.
mode.
But I love that just that there are all of not only the earth gods that have been, dare I say, manufactured, hanging out there, but just that whole idea of like gods in general are this thing that exists within every civilization, because every civilization needs to make it up, but they also are this real thing, and they go hang out in this thing together as gods, and like I thought that was a really creative, I don't know if it was Taika's touch, but something that was added to this film as a almost like a background element most of the time. But I really like the way it plays around with that. I don't know, I wasn't as impressed or as blown away with this one as I thought I might be.
Well, I really feel it's an ode to Guns N' Roses and just basically turning Thor up to 12 and seeing what happens. It's kind of like this wind-up toy that's sent out into a heavy metal guitar shop and just say, go make a story.
Yeah, but I agree with another tweet I saw which says it has really high highs and really low lows. Like, it's a really... To me, it was a really up-and-down experience. Like, there's a couple of incredible sequences, and then it, like, really dips into these almost boring, Germanic moments where I was like... And, you know, I'm thinking about this because what you're saying is that as much as I enjoy the way it explores Thor's potential to be turned up to 12, I feel like it doesn't stay at that momentum most of the time. And that takes away from it for me for a little bit, because I enjoyed it piece by piece, but I couldn't enjoy the overall thing as much as I enjoy the momentum of Ragnarok, let's say.
I have to say, out of the two, Ragnarok still feels the freshest, most subversive of the two movies. I mean, we're now, I don't know how many films into Taika Waititi's career, but this, you kind of get exactly what you expect, and that's a good thing, and possibly, I don't know.
I hate to say it, it's feels like he was forced into the Marvel formula more this one than Ragnarok. I feel like Ragnarok, they just gave him like free reign. And actually, the biggest difference between Ragnarok and this is that Ragnarok is like full-on sci-fi to me. And this is basically like they removed all the sci-fi to it. I almost wonder if that was like a Marvel mandate where they're like, hey, stick to the MCU, which is a gods and a sort of superheroes thing, not sci-fi. And bring it back to this like realm of the gods, constant, you know, different worlds they're going to kind of thing. And I feel he didn't have that full-on let loose that I was hoping for with Taika. But I think, and this is your point as well, is that I think Taika's touches in this are all of the supporting characters. Like, not only Korg, but everyone else that is in it feels like a Taika creation and a Taika comedic side to it. And even, like, the performances from the couple of the younger actors in it felt very much like, I'm glad Taika's getting them, directing them and getting this out of them, because it would not have been the same with a different director. But as an overall picture, I'm like, I don't think, I wanted more of the Taika craziness, and I felt like he was, I mean, he's a co-writer on it, but I felt like he still had to follow something. And it's also not a Marvel, like, current Marvel movie, in that it doesn't expand anything in any way. It's a very contained one-off Thor story, and that's it.
It's probably one of, if not the most linear Marvel movie to date.
Yeah,
I mean, there are no real shocking plot spoilery things that are going to happen that you can't really see or foresee happening before they do. I really liked Tessa Thompson in this. I kind of wish I'd seen a bit more of her character. She started, you know, they started to give her a bit of oxygen, a bit of screen time.
Yeah.
And I was kind of, no, more of that, please.
Yeah, I feel she's underused. And I'm going to get crap for criticizing Natalie Portman as the other Mighty Thor. But I was, like, I know she's from the comics and I know that it makes sense, but what I don't understand about this is why there's, like, no explanation or rationale to her. Like, she just exists as Thor. Like, the rationale is very... penciled in, and then the movie doesn't really want to deal with it the rest of the time. It just wants to deal with their relationship. Which is obvious if you're a writer, you're like, okay, let's get over this and let's focus on her relationship with Thor and their disconnection and their reconnection and what it all means. But I was like, how did she become a superhero? This hasn't really ever happened in a Marvel movie, has it? Like a regular Earth human suddenly being a superhero.
Ms. Marvel, maybe, but that's not a movie. But
yeah, okay,
but
okay.
I think the thing... For me, it also dodged its most interesting question, where essentially, and without trying to ruin or give away any plot spoilers, Natalie Portman's character is looking for power that possibly she doesn't deserve, and it never really attacked her decision about wanting to become Thor in an act of, are you being selfish, or... what is the grand purpose here? And the grand purpose was, I want to go on another big adventure. It was like, well, yeah, come on.
Right, which to me that clashes with the fact that Thor's story is the exact opposite, which is, what is the point of being a hero and what am I doing? Yeah. And hers is just, oh, she's a hero to be a hero again.
So, I mean, how would we leave this? I mean, for me, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
I think if you're expecting the kind of...
I agree. I would say it was better than... I mean, I think we both didn't like Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, which I think is the biggest mess this year of Marvel so far. And this is better, but not...
Multiverse of Madness committed the ultimate sin of being really, really dull. This is not dull.
I agree. It's almost like... as entertaining as you would hope for a Taika movie, but weak script overall to me, in a way where, I think you already said it, like, you don't walk out feeling excited, you walked out feeling like, okay, that was a fair movie.
It feels adequate.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And it's not to say I like hated it by any means or dislike it, I just...
He's produced such a strong body of work in such a relatively short space of time. And so now our expectations are like up here by the ceiling, and when we don't get that, then it's kind of, oh.
But I don't think that's bad. I think that, to me, that's like, first things first, they've proven with other movies that there's the potential to reach those heights. Secondly, why not aim for those heights? And third, it's not to say I don't enjoy it and it isn't entertaining, but I also still can say that I wish it was a little bit better. In, especially on what the 19th, 20th MCU movie, like,
yeah, they should be taking risks now. I know it's a multi-million dollar venture, but
I think this is a whole MCU topic, but the Eternals bothered me the most because that was them taking the biggest risk. Like, we're going to throw everything in this big, huge concept of doing something crazy and different, and it didn't turn out well at all. I mean, I didn't hate it, but I thought it was really, really boring and uninteresting. And this is, by far, nothing that bad.
No.
But I do agree that Marvel should be pushing more. Or, I mean, I don't know, let Taika do more with it. And I think this is the problem, is that this is just a fun thing to talk about that would never, ever happen officially within Disney and Marvel, is let the end result of Thor and his path not just be that he's a god who saves people. Let him have some other discovery and revelation and exploration. And, like, I know you can't end on a cliffhanger, but, like, give me something where, like the boldest choice was always the Dark Knight ending with, oh, wait, he's not the hero, or, like, the city doesn't think he's the hero. Even though that was a beautifully contained story with an ending, you're like, my goodness, he's not the Batman I saw at the beginning. And I wanted this from this Thor. I wanted him to, like, go through this path of discovery and revelation and be like, wait a minute, I don't get joy out of saving people anymore. But why? And what does that mean by the end of this? And you can pick that up and explore it in the next MCU movies, sure. But they don't go that way.
Anyway, there you go. Thor, Love and Thunder. Mildly overcast. Not necessarily Love and Thunder, I think.
Exactly.
So if you like that instant reaction, please consider signing up for more. By subscribing to our podcast, you'll be alerted every time a new instant reaction drops and when we're able to share it with you. Also, because sometimes a film can really start to grow on you, we'll be hosting an extra roundtable podcast to see if these initial feelings still hold true. So until then, please keep safe, and we look forward to seeing you on the next Instant No Spoiler Reaction. All the best.